1 Corinthians chapter 1 tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I have thoroughly enjoyed studying and reading and looking to the Word of God about the blessed hope. And there's this one, at least one more I'm going to do after tonight. But tonight we're going to look at the blessed hope and ask the question, are we looking for a sign? Are we looking for a sign? People all the time talks about, well, you can see this happening and you can see that happening. And boy, there's a lot of earthquakes taking place and this, that, and another. Well, we have to ask the question, are we looking for a sign concerning the rapture? There are lots of signs concerning the advent of Jesus Christ when he comes to this earth, but are we looking for a sign? And we'll look at the Word of God tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 24, the Bible says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So let's pray, and we'll look at scriptures tonight. Father, we are grateful for this evening. We're grateful to be able to gather together in your house once again. I do pray that every time we look and think about the blessed hope and think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, that it would stir our hearts for those purposes, the purpose of comfort, the purpose of purity, the purpose of holy living, the purpose of going out and witnessing to other people for eternity's sake, the purpose of living for eternity. All of these things, God, I pray that you would help us to live in light of the rapture. Live waiting, watching for the Son to come and catch us up to be with him in the air. God, may it influence our life. God, may we ever be watchful, for we do not know when it is coming. And Father, we pray this, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21 through 24, we see very clearly, Paul says, look, it's not about signs and wonders, especially for the Gentiles. It is about the preaching of the Word of God. He says, we preach the gospel. He says, it's not, we're not looking for signs. And one thing that the Pentecostal churches do is they base a lot of things on signs. They base a lot of things on experiences. They base a lot of things upon individual experiences. We have nothing to base anything on but the Word of God. Satan can manipulate experiences. There's no doubt about that. He is the prince of the power of the air. Satan can make people think things. I don't believe that he has the power over the mind of a Christian unless the Christian willingly gives that away. God tells us that we are to bring every thought into captivity and we ought to be in control of our thoughts. But Satan can manipulate things on this earth. He can manipulate experiences. So we're not dealing with signs, we're not dealing with wonders, we're dealing with the preaching of the Word of God. Our faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to take a look at certain things concerning signs. I want to, in the future, do a whole series on signs and dealing with signs and wonders and healings and all of that kind of thing that goes into that. I don't know when I'll do it, but Matthew chapter 16 tonight says this. Matthew 16 verse 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." And verse 4, Jesus says, look, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." He said, and we know what the sign of the prophet Jonas was. Jonas was 3 days in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights. Jesus Christ was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And that was the sign of Jonas the prophet. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the sign for the Jews. It was the main sign. But they were looking. You know, we'll believe you if you show us a sign from heaven. If a person, now look, you think of Luke in chapter, I believe it's chapter 16, you've got the rich man and Lazarus, and he says, look, if someone comes back from the dead and witnesses to my brethren, then they'll believe because someone came back from the dead. And they said to him, no, that is not the case. They won't believe if someone comes back to the dead. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, then they're not going to believe if someone comes back from the dead. God says, I want your belief to be based upon the Word of God. It is solidly and evidently based upon what is written clearly in the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1 through 8. Matthew 24 and here we have the second coming prophesied, the tribulation and that. It says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. You know, the focus is not on the physical. When you are dealing with the kingdom of God, you're dealing with the church, the focus is not on the physical. And we come into a dangerous place when we start, you know, I'm glad for God giving us beautiful facilities. I'm glad for God giving us heating and air conditioning to be able to stay comfortable while we're listening to the preaching of God's word. But do you realize all of that could end? The church doesn't end just because the building disappears. The church doesn't end just because somebody comes in, puts locks on the door, says you can't meet here anymore. Say, oh, could that happen? It happens in countries all over the world. And guess what? The church still exists. And the emphasis is not on the disciples. Look, it's not on the temple. The temple can and will be destroyed. He tells them that. He says, you got to look beyond that. As he sat upon, verse 3, the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, I'd probably been a little bit hesitant when Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I'd be a little hesitant to say to Jesus, what's the sign going to be? But they did. I mean, it just, things like that happen all through the Bible, and you have to look and just kind of nod your head and say, wow. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, these things take place at the beginning, in the first part of the tribulation period. When the first seal was opened, there came a horse, and those four horses that came out, when those seals were opened, the four horses that came out brought what? Death, famine, those kind of things. Revelation chapter 6, we're not going to look at that tonight, but Jesus says, look, the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the tribulation period of time is going to be marked by signs. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And so you look at this and you think, those are signs that are going to take place to let people know concerning the advent. Because the advent of Jesus Christ, the glorious appearing, if you will, that is for who? It's for the Jews. Remember last week we looked, Christians aren't going to be here. That is for the Jews. The Jews do require a sign. And he says there's going to be signs dealing with the second coming, if you will, but not for the rapture in this place. These are signs that are going to take place during the tribulation time. See, a lot of these things are already happening. They've been happening for thousands of years. But they are going to happen on a whole nother level when the tribulation starts. And that's going to be the signs of those things. John chapter 4 and verse 48. John chapter 4 and verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. So he's talking to a person. He says, look, Should we be like this person who Jesus says, if you don't see a sign and a wonder, you're not going to believe? That's not what we should be like. That's not the goal. That's not the idea. What is it? Signs are for the Jews, and we've seen that clearly. Signs are for people that are seeking after signs, but they're not for the church, and they're not for the church age. The church walks by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says this, We walk by faith, not by sight. Who's the we? He's speaking to the church of Corinth. The church walks by faith. The church does not walk by sight. I don't need someone to come back from heaven to tell me that heaven's real. God told me that heaven's real. I don't need any of that to tell me that heaven's real. In fact, so many of those things are false anyway. The Bible is the Word of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 23 through 25. Romans 8, verse 23 through 25. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit already if you're saved. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He died on the cross to pay for my sins. I know that I'm going to heaven based upon faith. But he says we're waiting for the adoption. We're waiting for the redemption of the body. For now, we're living in this world. For now, we have a purpose in this world. Your purpose is to serve the Savior. You know, that's what you're left here for. If that wasn't the purpose, God would just take us out of here immediately when we got saved. If the whole purpose was, oh, I get to go to heaven. No, God leaves us here for a purpose. That purpose is to continue with the work of God. God gives us children. That purpose is those children then should be trained to continue the work of God, so that the work of God continues on. People get saved. We go out and witness. People get saved. People get added to the church. Why? So that the work of God continues. Guess what? Muriel Schilling's 101. She's not going to, you know, she's not doing a whole lot of going out door knocking anymore. She's not teaching Sunday school anymore. These things cease. Would she like to? Sure, but these things cease. The younger generation must come up. And if the younger generation does not come up and carry on, what happens? You see, what happens is churches are closing their doors. Churches are closing their doors. Now, we've got to go out and win new people. But we've got to maintain and keep our families grounded in the Word of God as well. These things are both very important. So we're waiting for the redemption of the body, but while we're waiting, we're serving. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope. Hope is a sure thing in your King James Bible. Do remember that. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we are waiting for this thing that we are hoping for. It is the rapture, the blessed hope, the coming of Jesus Christ to collect us to himself in the air. We're waiting for that. That is our blessed hope. It's a sure thing because the Bible said it was. We're waiting for it because that's the day that we get to get out of this wicked world. That's the day that we get to get out of this broken down body, this sinful nature that haunts us day after day and comes back after us and after us and after us, to get out of this world that is temporarily under the prince of the power of the air. It'll be a great day. It'll be a good thing. We're looking forward to it. We're to wait for it. But he says, if you've seen it already, then you're not, there's no faith involved. You don't get saved and God gives you a vision and you base your life on that vision. You get saved by the Word of God. You wait. You live your life by faith. If you saw it, it's not faith anymore. You see? And we are to walk not by signs, not by wonders, not by miracles, not by... Look, do you believe in God? You don't have to see Him to believe in Him. We have the Word of God. Do you believe in prayer? Look, you pray. You have no idea how much God does as a result of your prayers. It's a great thing when you pray and you have a specific answer that you see, and I hope that happens in your life and you can see God work. And I believe that a lot of times God will do that and make that evident to encourage us to keep on praying. But you don't always see all of the answers. But you keep praying. Why? God's hearing. Every time you open your mouth to pray, God hears. Providing you're right with Him, you're walking with Him. If I regard my iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But we all of that, it's faith. The church walks by faith. Now turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to deal with a few passages here that are sometimes a bit on the troublesome side to people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So there's coming this man called the Antichrist. He will be revealed in the tribulation time. He'll be revealed there at the beginning. He'll make a covenant with Israel. It'll be a covenant that's supposed to be a certain period of time. At the midpoint of the tribulation, he breaks the covenant. But before the man of sin will be revealed, that wicked, it calls him, before he'll be revealed, there's going to have some things happen. A falling away first. A falling away first. And that man of sin revealed, the son of perdition. It describes him in verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this Antichrist, he's going to be revealed. He's going to make a peace treaty with Israel. We know that from Daniel, I believe, chapter 9, toward the end of the chapter. He makes a peace treaty with Israel. At the midpoint, he comes in, actually sets himself up in the temple as God. Verse 5, the Thessalonians are dealing with this. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Okay, now, let's go to verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by Him gathering, by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. He says, look, these people, they had forgotten the teaching that Paul gave them when he was with them. We see that in verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now, someone else has come along, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit. So don't listen to any spirit that disagrees with the Word of God, nor by word. So you don't agree with any word that goes against the Word of God in this matter, nor by letter as from us. You can almost see a forged letter there. Somebody writes a letter to them saying, this is from the Apostle Paul. He says, even if you get a letter and it seemed to be from us, if it goes against what I've previously taught you and previously given you from the Word of God, don't believe it. Paul may also be saying, if I change my mind on this matter later on, don't believe it. And he says, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So, we see here, he says, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. But the church is taken out before that. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. These people, all of a sudden, they're thinking, oh, maybe that happened already and we missed it. Or somebody wrote us a letter and said that the tribulation started. Or whatever the case may be, these people were troubled. They were shaken. They were disturbed. They thought somehow or another maybe they missed the rapture. Maybe they missed the tribulation. Maybe they're going to have to go through it after all. He says, no. He says, look, now verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed. There's something keeping the Antichrist from being revealed. Okay, something withholding that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Well, there's plenty of sin to go around. There's plenty of evil going on, but that's already working. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. So what is it that is withholding the Antichrist from being revealed and doing his work? What is it that is keeping Satan from inhabiting whoever that person will be and empowering that person, the Antichrist, that is going to be revealed and he's going to come in and this whole tribulation thing is going to start? It's the church empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit of God indwells believers. So we've got the church empowered by the Holy Spirit of God that will be taken out at the rapture. And when the church is taken out at the rapture, now he that withholdeth, the church, he that now letteth will let, the Holy Spirit is gone as far as in the sense of indwelling believers. The Holy Spirit will begin to work again in the tribulation time like he worked in the Old Testament, coming on and empowering people, but he's going to be taken out of way. And then, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. He hasn't been revealed. He can't be revealed because the church is still here. We aren't looking for the Antichrist. We aren't trying to figure out, look, Hitler was the Antichrist, Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist, Obama was the Antichrist, Trump's the Antichrist. You've heard it all, right? And people, oh, look, he's not going to be revealed while the church is still here. You're not going to know it. I guess that this person is going to be. Guess all you want. You can't know it. And if anybody gets up and stands up and these television preachers and things and says the Antichrist is going to be this person, you can already discredit it. He will not be revealed while the church is still present. Verse 8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That'll be when he comes and sets up his kingdom. But for 7 years, Antichrist has reign here. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the second coming. The advent of Jesus Christ, the glorious appearing. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Guess what? In the tribulation, he is going to rise up. He will deceive people because of signs and wonders. We're not looking for signs and wonders. We're walking by faith. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to go at the end of 4 and jump right into chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay? Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. Now some people have said, oh, that then, that puts a space of time there. Now, wait a minute. Read the whole verse. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So they haven't even gotten out of the air yet. Then we are there with them. All of this happens, 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we've got there, he's speaking to them, and he's saying, we, this is the blessed hope. This is Jesus Christ coming to get us in the air. Chapter 5, but of times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. We're not looking for signs. That's not what we're watching for. We're living by faith. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when, now notice the grammar change here. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief in the night. This day in chapter 5 is talking about the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. It is when he comes and sets up his kingdom. The problem is, people say, oh, chapter 4 at the end, that's talking about that period of time. No, we see while he's talking about the rapture, he's talking about we. When he's talking about the return of Jesus Christ, he says they. It excludes the we, and it goes to they, because the church isn't here. They're not a part of that. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. The people that are of the night and of the darkness, they're going to go through the tribulation. You're not in that group. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So God, this day that's going to come when people say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon it. Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen when he comes at the glorious appearing, right? We read it. People are going to melt before his presence. Their tongues are going to be consumed out of their mouths. Their eyeballs are going to melt in their sockets. People are going to say, oh, peace, peace, we've got peace. Uh-uh, not for that group. But see, he makes, even in the very grammar of this thing, a distinction. We are looking for Jesus to come in the air. They are going to face this time of trouble. We are not appointed unto wrath. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going through it. We're not going through the tribulation. Don't confuse the two separate events. One is at the end of verse 4. The second is in chapter 5. We are saved from wrath. Turn to Isaiah 13:9. What is the wrath here? A lot of times people say, well, that's hell. That's not what it's talking about. Isaiah 13 and verse 9. Isaiah 13, definitely we are saved from hell. There's no doubt about that. But Isaiah chapter 13 Isaiah 13 and verse 9, it says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger. Now, does that sound like the blessed hope? Not at all. It sounds like when he comes and destroys those enemies that are against him so he can set up his kingdom. Both with wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. We looked at that when we looked at the kingdom of heaven in Sunday school this morning. Zephaniah chapter 1. What did you see there? It was wrath, right? Zephaniah chapter 1. I want you to see the scriptures. We could go through this faster if I just print them all out and read them all. But you need to see it. You need to have an idea where you're looking in the Word of God. Open your Bibles, follow along with it. Chapter 1, verse 18 of Zephaniah says this, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by fire of his jealousy, and he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." Look at chapter 3 and verse 8. "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations." That's in Matthew 24, or 25, I'm sorry. "That I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." So you're looking at this thing. When Jesus Christ comes to set up his kingdom, everybody that stands in his way is just going to be annihilated. They're going to be wiped out. That's not what we're looking for. The church isn't going to be here at that time. None of that's going to happen. The Antichrist can't even be revealed while the church is here. So when 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about the day of wrath and it says they, the grammar is showing we're not going through that. The church is not going through that. Romans chapter 5. Turn to Romans chapter 5. In this great salvation passage that we so often use in witnessing, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Verse 8 is past, "But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Past, it's done. Verse 10 is present. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." If you're saved, you've been reconciled because of what God did in the past. Jesus Christ died for you in the past. You're reconciled to him now at the present, and you will be saved by his life. Verse 9 says this, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." When you see wrath in 1 Thessalonians, and you see wrath in Isaiah, and you see wrath talked about as the tribulation period, and you see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, talking about this church, we've dealt with this on Wednesday night already, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Many, many times we think, oh, that's hell. That's not what it's talking about, though. It's the wrath is described as his day on earth when he puts down his enemies. When he finally comes to the point where he's going to take them out of the way, that is described as wrath, as the day of wrath. There is no doubt that hell is also the wrath of God. But we're saved from hell. We know that. We get that. We're also saved from the wrath by the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. It says, and it lays out the same thing. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In this chapter, he goes ahead and gives them the sign that they were looking for. He says, here's what's going to happen. Always, always, always be careful not to read Matthew 24 and think about the church. You read Matthew 24, it's dealing with Israel. But in Matthew 24, 14, he goes ahead, he says, they wanted a sign. He says, here are the signs, the famines, the pestilences. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And he goes on down. And then he says in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom," what kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. The gospel of the kingdom, if you've been in Sunday school, you get that. "The gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." I'm not going to go back through it. I've done it in Sunday school. You can get tapes if you want them, dealing with the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. So when Jesus came, Matthew chapter 3, the first beginning times, they very clearly said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king has arrived on earth. The kingdom of heaven is here. Then he transitions to focus more on the kingdom of God. That is all of the spiritual kingdom. It would include all saved people of all time. In that kingdom of God is the church. So you have the church within the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, and the church within the whole of the kingdom of heaven, the physical kingdom, the coming of Jesus Christ when he sets up his kingdom. He says they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We're not talking anymore about you need to be saved. We're talking, they're going to preach that Jesus is coming to set up his kingdom. The same thing they were preaching in the early chapters of Matthew, they're going to preach during that tribulation time. They're going to be preaching, Jesus is coming to set up his kingdom. The signs, look at them, there's pestilences. Look at them, there's earthquakes. Look at them, look at the signs all around you. They're going to be preaching the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is coming to set up his kingdom. Get ready for the kingdom of heaven. He's coming. Turn to Isaiah 66, 19. Isaiah 66, 19. He says, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape them unto the nations to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. In Matthew 24, 14, it says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Isaiah says this gospel is going to preach. They're going to find all of the islands. It's going to be preached everywhere. Everyone is going to get to hear it. When do they get to hear it? Well, there's a certain group assigned to do this. First of all, there's two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. The Bible says the whole earth is going to see them. I don't know exactly how. Maybe it's through satellite. Maybe it's through some kind of internet. Maybe, I don't know. They're going to be preaching. Two witnesses will be preaching in Jerusalem. They're going to preach for 3.5 years. The beast is going to come. He's going to kill them. They're going to lay their dead on the street while the world makes merry. See, the world hates their message. Their message says the king is coming. You better shape up. The church is gone. These people that are left, can you imagine this world without the salt, without the light? You think it's bad now? Can you imagine it then? They're preaching. And they're preaching a message saying, look, Jesus is going to come and your eyes are going to melt out of your face. Your tongue is going to melt and people are going to come against them and fire is going to proceed out of their mouth and burn those people up. These two guys are not going to be well liked. They're not going to be popular. They're preaching about the coming of Jesus to set up his kingdom. When that message is preached to everywhere, then shall the end come. He says that's going to be the sign. The sign is not for the church. We're already gone. The sign is for the nation of Israel. The sign is for the Jews. They're going to be looking for it. You've got the 144,000 in Revelation. 12,000 from each tribe, men, virgins, from the tribe of all these 12 tribes of Israel that are going to be going out to be witnesses. They're going to have the seal of God in their forehead. They are going to accomplish the preaching of the gospel to the entire world. Here's where people mess this up. They say, we've got to get missionaries out to all of these places so that Jesus can come again. That's not what it's talking about. It's not, we're not talking about preaching salvation. We're talking about the message of the kingdom that is going to be coming. the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ is coming to set up his kingdom. This takes place, all of this, Matthew 24, this takes place in the tribulation time, in the tribulation period. We're not looking at the rapture there. We're looking at the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. We have to separate the two. So Matthew 24 shows the sign. Isaiah 66 agrees with it. Revelation tells who's going to be doing the preaching all around there. That's the sign when everybody hears the message that the kingdom is coming. Then Jesus is coming. Then's going to be the end. He's going to set up the kingdom and it's all done. It's all taken care of. 7 years before that, we're already out of here. We've already been caught up to meet him in the air. See, the practical side of this is, you know, we're not building bunkers. We're not getting ready for the tribute. We're not storing up food. I have no problem with preparation for things to get bad in our country against Christians. That can very easily happen. It's happened. Look, millions of Christians have been killed. Iraq, Iran, China, Russia, millions have been killed. There's nothing wrong with being ready for our liberty to be lost. We don't know what's going to happen before Jesus comes to take us in the air. We do know this. The tribulation's not going to happen. I'm watching Christian people prepare for the tribulation. I'm thinking you are completely wasting your time. We're to preach, come to Jesus Christ, get saved, be reconciled to God. There's a blessed hope. We're going to get pulled out of here beforehand. Once we're out, the Antichrist is revealed. Then the message changes. The kingdom's coming. You got a period of time to get ready. You don't know exactly what day is going to come, but you've got a period of time to get ready. The blessed hope is imminent. It could be today. Do you know lost people? Do you want lost people to enter the tribulation? The chances that after a lost person enters the tribulation, the chances of them actually getting through that to come into the kingdom are very slim. The chances of them getting saved are very slim. There's going to be great deception. There's going to be all kinds of things. A third, in just one event, a third of the population of the world is going to die. The world that's left is going to die. I don't want loved ones, lost people, people that I care about, left behind. It's not going to be some fantastic battle like the Left Behind series portrays. There's some accurate things in the books, but there's not going to be these glorious heroes during that time. That's not the way it works. I can't fathom what this world's going to be like during that 7 year period of time. But the Bible says it's going to be worse than anything the world has ever experienced before. We've still got opportunity to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've still got opportunity to witness. We've still got opportunity to live pure and holy. When we look around this world, we're comforted by the fact that it may get bad, but at least we get to miss the wrath. And that is a message of comfort, and it's a message given to the church. I am grateful for the Word of God. I'm grateful for the clarity of the Word of God. It has to be rightly divided, but it ought to influence our lives to do something, not to sit back and be nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ who died and saved us, not to sit back and live in our sins. Do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. And when you start doing something, you face tribulation for it, guess what? There's a blessed hope to look forward to. Jesus is coming again. We're waiting for the redemption of this vile body. We're waiting for that time when we're not fighting sin anymore. It'll be a blessed day. It'll be a good day. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I do pray.